Okay, so tonight we're going to talk about fat, and before we begin this lecture, I would like to start with a word of prayer, so let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the ability to learn about how fearfully and wonderfully we are made, and Father, thank you for the principles you've given us in your word, and in the ministry of the Spirit of Prophecy. And Father, we pray that as we learn these things, Lord, that we will put them into practice in our lives and be able to share these simple principles with others, Father, that they may experience good health and avoid the traps that Satan has laid for this world. And we pray for your blessing now upon us, and we invite your Spirit to be present to be our instructor here today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, is fat your friend or is it an enemy? Fat has been linked to cardiovascular disease, heart disease. It's been linked to cancer and obesity. Just a variety of diseases have been linked to fat. And so does that mean that we should remove fat from our diet completely? Stay away from it so that we don't have any of these dreaded diseases? Well, the truth is that our bodies need fat. We must have fat to live. And without it, we would die without enough fat. There's two things that fat is needed for in our diet. There may be more, but here are two things. One of them is the absorption of fat-soluble vitamins. We need the fat in order to absorb those vitamins in our diet. And the other is to obtain the essential fatty acids. And the reason they're essential is because we need to obtain them from our diet. Our body cannot produce these. They need to come from the food we eat. And our body uses the essential fatty acids to make many different substances in the body that regulate how our body works, different body functions. For example, fats are necessary, the essential fatty acids are necessary for immune response. They help to control blood pressure. They also help to control the blood clotting or thinning, clotting and thinning of the blood. And they're important to maintain a proper balance of hormones in the body. And there's many other things that fat is necessary for. And so you can see that it is very important to get fat in our diet. However, what is also important is how much fat we get into our diet and what kind of fat we get in the diet. And we're going to take a look at why that is so important and why we need to be careful. In Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, it says that the life is in the blood. Without blood, we have no life. When someone is bleeding to death, the life is draining out of them. They get weaker and eventually they will die. The blood is what brings life to every cell of the body. The blood is important to bring oxygen, to bring nutrients to the different cells, to give them, keep them living. And so it's important that we have good, healthy blood. But what good is good, healthy blood if that blood does not reach where it needs to go? And so not only is good blood important, but circulation of that blood is also very, very important for good health. And in the ministry of healing, there's the quote which says, "Perfect health requires a perfect circulation." So for perfect health, The blood has to travel freely to all parts of the body in order to give life to those parts. And so if we have a poor circulation, we will have poor health because those cells will not be eliminating the wastes, they will not be getting new nutrients, and they will not be getting a good supply of oxygen. And many different areas of the body can suffer from either too much blood, coagulation of the blood, or too little blood in those areas due to poor circulation. And fat intake is related to how well the blood circulates in the body. And we'll see why that is in just a moment. First, I would like to ask a question. How many blood cells do you think are in 1 cubic millimeter of blood? Does anyone want to throw out a number? In a cubic millimeter, that's very small. How many red blood cells do you think are contained there? Does somebody want to guess? 100,000. Much more. At least someone tried. But it's actually 4 to 5 million red blood cells in a cubic millimeter. And these cells are bringing oxygen to all the trillions of cells in our body. And in order for the blood to flow quickly, these blood cells cannot touch one another. They're not supposed to touch. And if you can imagine 4 to 5 million blood cells flowing through our bloodstream at full speed, and they're not supposed to touch each other. Now that is incredible. We are really fearfully and wonderfully made. Now how is that possible? How has the Lord made it possible for so many blood cells to zoom through our blood vessels without banging into each other? Well, the cell membranes are designed with a negative electric charge, and so they repel each other like two magnets. And so that keeps them from bumping into each other. They just keep flowing around without banging into each other and getting all clumped up. And so that is one of the wonderful features that God has designed into our bodies. There was someone who did a study which discovered that if you get too much fat in the bloodstream, it will cause those red blood cells to stick or clump together. This is a picture of what it might look like, where they'll start to clump together if there's too much fat in the diet. Now, it might not be a problem for these large blood vessels. However, it becomes a problem in the small capillaries. Here's a diagram of how the blood vessels are in our body. The largest blood vessels run from our heart, and they go to the legs and to the head and arms. Those are the largest blood vessels. And smaller blood vessels will branch off of those large ones, and still smaller from those, and even smaller ones. And these smaller ones are the capillaries. And it's like a tree with the different branches, a big trunk, and it breaks off into smaller blood vessels. It's at the capillary level. Here's just a close-up of what a capillary might look like. This is where the functions of life occur. It's here at the cell level. And that's where the blood needs to reach in order to give its life-giving properties to the cells. And in these capillaries, there is very, very little room. As a matter of fact, some of these capillaries are so small that the red blood cells actually have to fold in half in order to squeeze through them. And if you can imagine 4 to 5 million red blood cells in 1 cubic millimeter, how small that are, those small capillaries are if they have to fold in half to fit through them. And so if we get too much fat in the blood, you can see that's going to cause a problem at the capillary level, because if these cells are all clumped together, there's no way they're going to fit into those capillaries. As a result, the cells are not going to get the oxygen they need and the other nutrients, and it begins to stress out the cells, and it will cause them to swell, which is called inflammation. Over time, this fat does dissipate from the bloodstream, and those cells will get oxygen again, and they can recover, and the swelling and the inflammation will go down. Depending on how much fat you get, it could take anywhere between 3 to 6 hours. But what if every meal you ate was a high-fat meal? Well, then you would see that your cells would be in a continual state of inflammation. And that causes a lot of problems. For example, if someone is suffering from lower back pain, improved circulation can help that. It could be, one of the causes could be the inflammation of the cells in that area, causing the back pain, because anytime there's a lack of oxygen, there is pain. So many of the aches and pains that we experience could be from a poor circulation. And if you restore the blood flow through those capillaries, you can sometimes fix that pain and it will go away. And that, of course, means that we need to limit our fat intake. So a high-fat diet can be the cause of much of the chronic pain and the chronic inflammation that we experience. Even arthritis, which itis is just another word for inflammation. So even arthritis can be helped by a low-fat diet. And Satan wants to cripple us. He wants us to be in pain. He wants us to be crippled. And he wants us to eat a high-fat diet. And that is why most of the restaurants and most of the fast food places serve foods that are high in fat. And that's also why there's so many holidays that encourage us to eat foods that are high in fat. And that's why the stores are filled with so many unhealthful choices. Because Satan, the thief, cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now, if you think about this, if the small capillaries are affected by a high-fat diet, then how is that going to affect your brain? That means your brain is also going to be getting less oxygen, and that's going to affect your ability to discern between good and evil, to reason. It's going to affect your intellect and your willpower. And it's going to affect your ability to study the Bible and so forth. God communicates to us through our brains. I wish I had that quote here. Ellen White talks about that through the brain that God is able to communicate with man. So Satan does not want it to be easy for us to live a Christ-like life. And so he encourages us through our fallen natures to desire those high-fat meals. And here are the verses. It says that, I mentioned earlier, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. John 10:10. In John 8:44, it says, Satan was a murderer from the beginning. And so Satan wants to destroy us through our appetites. But we must make the firm decision and through the strength of Christ to resist his temptations. But God, on the other hand, wants us to live. And he's given us many healthy choices. He wants us to live more abundantly, as we've read in John 10:10. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And this is speaking of eternal life, but he wants us to have a better life in this world as eternity begins today, if we believe in our Lord. And God is also a merciful God. He is long-suffering, and his mercy endureth forever. Because if we had too much fat in our diet from even one high-fat meal, it could kill us instantly. But God has placed a substance in our body which will remove that fat from the blood, and over time this will cause problems, which we will look at. Heart disease is one of the problems, because one of the things it can do is remove it from the blood and stick it to the artery wall. It allows the blood to keep going, but you can start to get buildups. And that it prevents sudden death. But what it does is it gives us time to make the right choices. And as I mentioned, over time it does cause serious health problems. But God sets before us life and death. He gives us the opportunity to make the right choices. And we can choose life by limiting the amount of fat that we get in our diet. So that shows us a little bit of the importance of how much fat. We don't want a lot. And the second important thing is choosing the right kind of fat, because not all fat is the same. Here are the four most common types of fatty acids found in the foods we eat. We have palmitic acid, oleic acid, linoleic acid and linolenic acid. Those are the four common types of fatty acid. And I will try to briefly describe what you're looking at here. Okay, this is palmitic acid, and it's called a saturated fat. And the reason it's called saturated is because all of the carbons, you have this carbon, it's called like a carbon backbone, all this string of carbon atoms, and every single carbon has a hydrogen. And so it is saturated with hydrogen. That's why it's called a saturated fat, because it's completely saturated with hydrogen. And because of this structure, it's straight, like a brick. Because of that structure, this type of fat can be layered. It can be stacked tightly together, like bricks. And this, for that reason, at room temperature, this fat is a solid. So that is palmitic acid, a saturated fat which is a solid at room temperature. The next fatty acid is oleic acid. And you'll notice that this carbon here and this carbon here only have one hydrogen. They don't have two hydrogens. And this is a double bond. It's called a double bond between the two carbons. And this is called a monounsaturated fat. Mono means one. So there is one place where it's not saturated. It has one double bond. The hydrogens, all of the hydrogens have a slightly positive charge. And so you see that there's a kink right here. And that's because these hydrogens, they are repelling each other. Just like the blood cells have a negative charge, if you take two of the same charges, two little magnets, put them together of the same charge, they repel. And so these hydrogens are repelling each other. And in the saturated fat, there were hydrogens on the bottom to produce an opposite effect. But here there are none, and so it causes the fat to kink. And because of this structure, because of the kink in it, you cannot pack it together so tightly. And so at room temperature, it's more malleable. It's actually a liquid at room temperature. It doesn't stick together as tightly. And the next two fats are linoleic and linolenic. And these are called the polyunsaturated fats because there's more than one place where it's not saturated. This one has two double bonds, and this one has three double bonds. And so there's less hydrogen, and the more double bonds it has, the more kinks it has, the more bent up it is because of that. And so, of course, these are also liquids at room temperature because they're even more loosely packed together. Now that we've learned a little bit about the four most common types of fatty acids, we're going to look at a principle in the Bible which instructs us as to which kind of fat we should avoid. And one place that this principle is found is in Leviticus 3:17, where it says, "It shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings that ye eat neither fat nor blood." Now, did God give this law to us as a restriction? Well, no, correct. He did not give it to us to make life more unpleasant, as something that some sort of pleasure that we have to avoid, but He gave it to us for our health and for our happiness, because we remember that God wants us to live more abundantly. And at the time that this law was recorded, God had just led the children of Israel out of Egypt, and He was establishing them as a nation. And they were to be witnesses of God's wisdom, of His power, and of His love. And so God gave Israel certain health laws in order to protect them from the diseases that the Egyptians were suffering. And so listen to what God said to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 14:2. He says, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto Himself above all the nations that are upon the earth." Now, there's a similarity. This is what the Lord spoke to the Israelites that He had led out of Egypt. Notice the words. We have an holy people. He's chosen us to be a peculiar people. Now, if we look at 1 Peter 2:9 in the New Testament, it says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." God is still desiring for a people to represent him on this earth. And so we are spiritual Israel today. Romans 2:29 says, "But he is a Jew which is one inwardly." And Galatians 3:29 says, "But if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." God's people were always the people of faith. Abraham received the promises by faith. So God's people have always been, the seed of Abraham are those who have faith in Christ. And so the Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that he does not change. And so his will for his people then is his same will today. And so even though ancient Israel failed as a nation, God is still looking for a people to follow him and to be witnesses for him. He's looking for a group of people that he can lead to the heaven, to the promised land or the heavenly Canaan. And furthermore, the health laws that God has given to us for their health and for their happiness are just as much for our health and our happiness today, because our bodies still work the same. So what harmed them is still harmful to us today. And there's probably more things that are harmful to us today. So Leviticus 3:17, "It shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings that ye eat neither fat nor blood." I just wanted to mention one thing also. In the very first lecture, we mentioned how at the Council of Jerusalem, that they were written that the Gentiles should avoid idolatry, things offered to idols. They should avoid fornication. They should avoid things strangled and blood. So the health laws were still in effect there. And so when the Israelites were given this law, it showed that they were supposed to remove the fat and the blood from an animal. So this verse is speaking specifically about animal fat. And the blood is a carrier of many of the infectious diseases. It carries a lot of the cancer-causing viruses. It carries many unwanted hormones. And it has other problems. And the fat causes many of the chronic problems that we suffer. And animal fat is largely palmitic acid. It is mostly saturated fat. And of the four fats that we showed, the palmitic, the oleic, the linolenic, and the linoleic, palmitic acid is the most unhealthy for our bodies. Remember that this fat is a solid at room temperature. If you think about it, that is how animals store fat. And it's also how humans store fat, in the most dense, condensed possible way. Because if we stored it more oleic or palmitic, we would have liquid instead of fat padding. It would be liquid, and that would be very difficult as it sloshed around. And so that is why it is stored mainly as palmitic acid. And since animal fat is a solid at room temperature, it is the fat that will mostly clog the blood vessels and the arteries and limit the blood flow. And fat will accelerate heart disease and cause many other health problems. And we're going to look at some of that in some of the different diseases that we're going to look at, the cancer, diabetes, and heart disease. And so remember that for perfect health, we must have a perfect circulation. Another thing about fat, you might have heard the phrase, "You are what you eat." And this is a very true phrase, because the food we eat is broken down and it's converted into blood, and those nutrients are what are used in building up the cells in our body. This is kind of a diagram of a cell. Cells are kind of like a balloon filled with jelly, but they're very, of course, much more complex than that. The cells have a, this is the outer layer of a cell, it's the cell membrane, and the cell membrane is made up of what are called phospholipids. Phospho is for phosphorus, because they have a phosphorus head, and lipid is fat, it's another word for fat. And these two little tails are fatty acids, so phospholipids. And the you know how that oil and water don't mix? So you see how the tails are all pointed inward? Because they are hydrophobic. They're water-fearing. They're afraid of water. They don't like water. And so they all turn inward, and the phosphorus is able to face outward where the liquid is. So this is the cell membrane, and these are all fatty acids. And so if we eat fats that are mostly solid or saturated fatty acids, then these phospholipids will be made up of a lot of saturated fat. A lot of these tails will be saturated. And that means that the cell membrane will be more stiff. It won't bend or move around or be as pliable. And there's also different, I wish I would have put that in there, but there's different gateways on the cells that let things in and out. And so those doors, it'll be harder to get them open or closed. If you think about it, for example, the red blood cells having to fold in half in order to fit through some of those capillaries, if most of the cell membranes, if most of those fats are saturated fat, those cells will have a harder time to move around. White blood cells will have a harder time in fighting and attacking different invaders. And so that, of course, that affects our immune system, it affects blood circulation, it affects all sorts of things. And so we want to avoid animal fat. Now, what about the other types of fat? Well, we mentioned at the beginning that we need certain fatty acids called the essential fatty acids because our body is unable to produce those. It can make all the saturated fat it wants, and it can also make the oleic, which is the monounsaturated. But the two fats that are essential are the linoleic acid and the linolenic acid. And this one is called the omega-6 fatty acid, and this is called omega-3. And if someone is curious as to why that is, you'll notice that this one, there are six carbons, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, then there's a double bond. So it's an omega-6, because omega is the end. This they call the alpha, that's the beginning, that's the end. So six carbons from the end is the double bond, omega-6. And this one, 1, 2, 3 carbons. So it's called an omega-3 fatty acids, just if anyone is interested in that. They want to affect what it does anyway. So, all right, so we have omega-6 and omega-3. Now, if you don't get sufficient amounts of these fatty acids, you will have poor health, and you could eventually die from that because your body requires those because they are essential. Something that is essential is necessary. Okay, here is what the omega-3 fatty acids are important for in the diet. They decrease the risk of blood clotting, reduce blood pressure, reduce blood triglycerides. That's just another fancy word for blood fat. It's the fat in the blood. So they reduce blood triglycerides, decrease risk of heart attack, anti-inflammatory action, so it has the opposite effect that the palmitic acid does. Increases pain tolerance, milder menstrual symptoms, reduces tumor growth, reduces risk of ulcers, important for brain and eye development in babies. I took nutrition at Andrews and I had an instructor, and she was very adamant about breastfeeding children. And this is one of the reasons, because of the omega-3 fatty acids that they will receive from the mother's milk. Because in order for the babies to have the proper development of the brain and of the eyes, etc., they need that those omega-3 fatty acids. And a lack of omega-3 fatty acids result in depression, aggressiveness, impaired nervous system health, basically poor mental function. These fatty acids are important for your brain as well. Now, where do we find omega-3 fatty acids? Well, they're actually found in small amounts in all plant foods. in very small amounts in all plant foods. But there are certain foods that have a lot more. Some of the good sources, as far as an amount, are the avocado, almonds, soy, and spinach. They have a good amount of it. And foods that have omega-3 fatty acids in high amounts are the canola oil, walnuts, and flaxseed. Those are the richest plant sources. And the flaxseed, I just should mention, it needs to be ground because the seed itself, it's a lignin. It's not digestible. So if you didn't grind them into the ground flaxseed, the powder, then your body wouldn't digest them really well, and most of them would go straight through you. So you can get your omega-3s from the ground flaxseed. It's really simple. If you grind it and just take 2 tablespoons of the ground flaxseed per day, that will give you the daily requirement, which I believe is 2,000 milligrams of the omega-3, is 2 tablespoons of the ground flaxseed. And you can have flaxseed on salads. You can put it on your cereal. And there's other places you can have the flaxseed. Now, the omega-6 fatty acids are found in a great abundance in all plant foods. And so if we're eating our fruits, our nuts, our grains, and our vegetables, we'll have all we need. We don't need to worry about the omega-6. We only need to be sure that we're getting enough of the omega-3. So that's why it's good. I mentioned earlier in the protein lecture about the handful of nuts. It's good to get some nuts in the diet because those are a rich source. And some of these other fatty sources, just foods that have more fat than usual, because soy is actually a bean that has more fat than other beans. So those are good ways to get it. And so God teaches us through nature the importance of eating the plant foods because they have the things that are essential for us. Okay, now I'd like to mention that the plant fats do contain palmitic acid. They do have some saturated fat in them, and that is the fatty acid that meat has in large amounts. However, plant foods only have it in a very small amount. And furthermore, as we mentioned in the previous lecture, plants have something that meat does not, and that is fiber. Plant fibers will slow the absorption of fat into the bloodstream. And because of the fact that there's no fiber in the animal fats, it is quickly absorbed into the blood, and you can end up with all those troubles that we mentioned earlier about the red blood cells sticking together and they aren't able to feed the cells with the nutrients and the oxygen. And so, of course, then our brain will not be getting the oxygen it needs, the body won't be getting what it needs, and we can end up in poor health. As this chronic inflammation continues to go on, it can cause a lot of health problems. And so the fiber is very important. And so if we're eating the plant fats, then we won't feel tired, our circulation won't be harmed, and our brain will be able to operate efficiently. And of course, everything should be done in moderation. Because that brings us to the topic of the plant oils. What about the oils? Well, because they are refined, they have no fiber, then that is one of the problems with the animal fat, is because there's no fiber. So you can end up with too much fat too fast. And that could cause some of those problems if you get a lot as far as the clumping together, if you get too much too fast. So the oils have that problem. Also, the oils can coat the digestive enzymes, which make digestion go slower. So that keeps the stomach from doing its job as quickly and as well. Now, of course, the oils are not as harmful as the animal fats or the saturated fat. It does share some of the same problems, so it's important to limit our intake of the oils, not to have too much of the actual oils. And another reason we should limit the use of the oils is that there's also a risk of the oxidation of the oils. Most oils are liquid at room temperature, and that is because of those double bonds. But that also means that where those double bonds are, those places are able to break easier, and oxygen can get in there because it's not saturated with hydrogen, so oxygen can get in there and cause it to be oxidized. The oxidation is harmful because it produces free radicals. And what free radicals are is they are unstable molecules that can cause damage. They're molecules that are missing an electron, and so they will steal electrons from anything that's nearby, and that can cause damage to cells, it can cause damage to DNA, and so free radical damage is able to cause cancer by causing damage to DNA, it's able to cause heart disease by causing damage to the cell walls, and so the more double bonds that a fatty acid has, then the more, the faster it will become oxidized, the quicker it will become oxidized. And heat, exposure to the air, and sunlight or light all speed up that process of oxidation. And of course, oxidation is not a problem if you're eating whole plant foods, because God has placed antioxidant substances in those foods. For example, we mentioned the kernel of wheat. The germ is where the fatty acids are, but the germ is also where the richest source of vitamin E is, and vitamin E is an antioxidant. So it helps to prevent the oxidation by contributing electrons to the oxidized products without themselves becoming unstable. And so the trouble begins when we refine the foods, because we take away those antioxidants and you're stuck with a product that can have the problems of oxidation and other problems. So man takes away the good things that God has put in the foods. And clearly we can see that the wisdom of man is foolishness with God. Man is not wiser than God. And so the majority of the foods that we do eat should have as little processing as possible. So fats are best obtained by eating the whole plant foods, and oils should be used sparingly. I'm not sure if I can just mention that now. I don't know if I mention it later. But I mentioned how light, heat, and exposure to air will speed up the process of oxidation. That's why things like the flax, if you have flax seed, ground flax seed, when I grind the flax seed, I will put it in a container and you can put it in the freezer, and that slows the process down. And if you have flax oil, it's good to keep that in the freezer, and you'll notice it doesn't become solid because there's so many of these double bonds. Whereas if you took olive oil and you put it in the refrigerator, it begins to get cloudy and it can get hard because it only has one double bond. So you can even see how the number of double bonds is proportionate to whether it's a solid or a liquid. And so if you also notice, the olive oil containers are in a dark bottle, because that helps to prevent the sunlight from getting in there. So just keep those types of oils in a cool place, out of the light, and then they'll be able to last longer. Okay, so the last type of fat we're going to look at now is the hydrogenated fats, or the partially hydrogenated fats. Now, manufacturers will hydrogenate fats for a couple of reasons. Number one, they'll do it to make plant fats more spreadable. And when they do that, they'll advertise it as a healthy product, because here you're spreading a plant fat. So they can advertise it as a healthy plant product. I don't know if people believe that anymore, but another thing they do that for is to prevent the oxidation of plant fats. Because what hydrogenation does is it forces hydrogens onto the places where there are none, and that makes it so that it can't oxidize as well or at all, and it has a longer shelf life. And so that's good for them, but it's not good for you. Now, there's a couple of reasons why. Number one is that hydrogenation will turn a healthy, essential fatty acid, and it will turn it into a non-essential animal fat, basically, which does not do any good for our body, but it actually does harm. Basically, you'll get some energy or some calories out of it, and it can also cause a lot of harms. They're beginning to see that it itself is linked to heart disease and cancer as well. So you'll see that this one, you'll see, is just a little kinked. That's about it. because they heat it up really high to get it so it hydrogenates, and it straightens out the kink, and you're ended up with something that is basically no better or maybe even worse than an animal fat. And also some of these margarines, you can get some, I should mention, you can get some that do not use hydrogenated oils. But these margarines, also, of course, they don't have any fiber, so you'll also get the problem where they're absorbing quickly into the bloodstream, hindering the circulation. All right, so now we're just going to review what we've learned. How much fat do we need in the diet? Well, we don't want a whole lot of fat in our diet. Now, it depends on how many calories somebody needs, of course. One estimate is 40 to 50 grams per day, which is plenty. That's plenty of fat. And you probably won't remember that number. It's, you know, the Lord did not want eating to be complicated. We didn't have to get under calculators and weigh food and do all this stuff. He never wanted that. So we don't need to be counting calories and doing all this. And you probably won't remember these numbers. So if you just remember to eat an abundance of whole plant foods, and we mentioned it's good to eat a majority of the carbohydrates, the grains, and then to that you can add different things like the beans, which are higher in protein and fat, and then some of the higher fatty foods, you have the nuts and the avocado and the olives, then you can add that as well to your diet, and to eat those in moderate amounts, not as much as you would the grains and other things. And if you're eating this way, you're not going to have any problems. You're going to get the fat you need. You're not going to get too much if you eat most of them whole. So it's the way that God has intended for things to be eaten. And then the oils, of course, use those sparingly. Use those only occasionally. And, of course, I mentioned you want to keep some of them refrigerated so that they don't oxidize so fast. And if you're cooking with oils, it's best to use lower heat because higher heat will cause it to either, it can have a vapor point, a smoking point, or it will cause them to oxidize, so a lower heat, and cook it for as short of time as possible. And one thing you can do for sautéing is you can do a little mixture of water and oil for sautéing, and that will help you to use less oil. My one nutrition teacher, I kind of discussed this, and I think the best oil for cooking, well, you want to use any kind of oil sparingly, but coconut oil is one oil that is a saturated fat. It's a short-chain fatty acid, though, so if it's really interesting. If you take coconut oil and you hold it in your hand, it becomes a liquid almost right away. It just melts right away. And so when that gets into your body, it is a liquid. And so that is not as troublesome, and it's also a saturated fat, so you can cook with the coconut oil, and it won't oxidize, and it can handle more heat. Otherwise, the extra virgin olive oil is another good cooking oil because it only has one double bond. But again, you want to use low heat on all of these because you can have the trouble of the smoke point where it'll turn brown. Okay, another thing is for some of the recipes you make, you can actually just use whole plant foods instead of oil. Like cashews are high in fats, and you can put the cashews in a blender, blend the cashews up, and that instead of using the oil, you use the cashews. All right, and then finally, we should avoid the animal fats altogether because our body does not need it. We make enough of our own, some more than others. So if animal fat is something that we just don't need in our diet, we can avoid that. And so if we follow the wisdom that God has given us through the scriptures about avoiding the fat and the blood, then we can be free from many of the diseases this world is suffering from. Because God created us, and He knows just what our bodies need to run properly. And we'll review His promise again that He's given to us. He says, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Exodus 15:26. And so I hope that everyone will choose God's ways, and I hope most of you already are, and that you'll experience the fullness of health that the Lord has promised. We'll close with a word of prayer then. Precious Father in heaven, Lord, we want to express our gratitude for the wisdom you've given to your people thousands of years ago, Lord, as you brought them out of Egypt, and as you were showing them your way of life and your way of health and happiness, Father. And Lord, as you've brought us out together as a denominated people, Father, and you've reintroduced these laws of health to us, Father, we pray that we will not fail where the ancient Israel failed, Father, but that we will take up these principles, Father, and apply them in our lives, and that people will say of us, what a wise and understanding people this is. How great is their God. Father, we just pray that in everything we do, whatsoever we eat or drink, whatever we do, we will do it all to your glory, with an eye single to your glory. We will ask, does this give you glory? Will this be beneficial to the advancement of your kingdom? Will this strengthen me to be of service to you? So, Father, we just pray for your Spirit to guide us in wisdom and to bless us and to help us, Father, in making the right choices. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.